weeks, and I don't want to labor on that too long because, you know, having with the little ones in with us, I know they can only sit so long. But I want to share this today as a family and share it together as a church. But we've been doing a series in the Christmas season. I like to take the whole month of December and preach on the Christmas story because there's just too much to tell about in one Sunday. It's such a beautiful story, and it's such a beautiful part of history, and it's such a beautiful, I want to say beginning to the story, but it's not the beginning of the story, because in the beginning, God created heaven and earth and man and every creature and hung the stars and sat the moon and made the waves and the sea and separated all of those things. In the beginning, God. So can we just say today, in the beginning of my life was God, and God created. He created each and every one of you here today to be who you are. He created the uniqueness that you have. He created the talents that we have. And, I had a teacher say one time about one of the girls and said, you know, just a model student, you know, and wish they had a whole class full of her. And another teacher said, oh, no, that would be boring. I don't know that I've ever had a boring class. Not sure if I agree with that teacher, but boring sometimes can be good. It would be boring in the fact that everybody would be exactly the same. And sometimes, you know, the ones you fall in love with the most are the ones who are the orneriest, who need your most love and your most care, right? Those ones that just make you giggle. And, not too long ago on Facebook, and some of you probably saw it. It was talking about sheep, and it had a shepherd, and it had that one sheep who was stuck in a tire swinging back and forth. Did you all see that? And said every shepherd or every pastor has that one sheep, right? But automatically my mind could count like 10 or 11 or 12 of those sheep, you know, that... Like, oh, yeah, I've been there, done that. But I'm thankful that God has given us many talents and many treasures and many abilities and many giftings. And I'm so thankful today that he has joined us together as one in this body. I'm so thankful for the hearts and the minds and that God has joined together here at Word of Deliverance. For everyone who serves here, who everyone who ministers, who everyone who volunteers, for everyone who comes and is just with us. We are honored by your presence. We are honored by your love and because you chose here to worship today. So we've been doing a series talking about the fear nots of the scripture. You don't have to raise your hand, and I've asked this every Sunday, but anybody in here ever dealt with fear in your life? Most, we could probably say with a resounding yes, that most of us have dealt at some time in our life with fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of being alone, fear of loneliness, fear of change, fear of, the direction that our life is taking, fear of financial crisis, fear of health issues. The list can go on and on. And I could probably, you know, just ask you to call out, you know, what would be your greatest fear? And, you know, and I'm talking to everybody in the room today because do you know that children have fear? Children are afraid at times. Adults are afraid at times. Any of you in here ever been afraid of the dark? Three of you have been afraid of the dark. Thank you for being honest with me there today. And, you know, you've had that time where, and always we say, well, there's nothing there in the dark that's not there in the day. But because our vision is obscured, our mind makes up scenarios, right? And we start imagining things. And I've been out in the dark before thinking, well, there's nothing out here to be afraid of. And before I get myself to the door, I've done imagined the bear behind the tree or the person hiding in the bushes, which, of course, are not there. But my step picks up a little bit more as I get to the door because I hustle up to get inside, right? Okay, I was only 4 when I did that. But fear can be good or it can be bad. Fear is what keeps you, it makes you get out of the way of the truck that's coming, right? It's what makes you run from the bear. It's what keeps you sometimes from hurting yourself. But fear can also be crippling. And I've seen many people over my life be crippled by fear because it inhibited everything that they wanted to do. They were so afraid to times to literally even go out of their house because of fear, a fear of the unknown, fear of what could happen. But Jesus came into the scriptures, and in the gospels we see the scripture where when the angel begins to speak to Zechariah and Elizabeth, he says, Zechariah, don't be afraid. Fear not, because your prayers have been answered. And I want to tell you today that we sometimes think, Lord, I've been praying and I don't see anything changing. Do you know that Zechariah and Elizabeth were old in age and they were in the temple and they were praying, and he said to him, Zechariah, your prayers have been answered. And I don't know about you, but I got some unanswered prayers today, but I don't look at the unanswered prayer because I know that in the portals of heaven they hang, and in due season. Come on, somebody, in due season, God begins to step right in the midst of our fear and said, don't be afraid, because your prayers have been answered, and that thing which you've desired. How many know Zechariah was praying for all of Israel? I don't know about you, but I woke up praying for all of the United States this morning. We need some prayer. We need some healing in our nation. We need some direction. And he was praying for all of Israel. But right smack dab in the prayer of Israel, God heard the prayer of a man and a woman who seemed like their life had been barren and their season had passed them by. But God begins to speak and says, do not be afraid, for your prayers have been heard. And how many know God makes a barren womb of Elizabeth receive seed and a child born to her whom they had called barren. There are many situations in our life that we look at and we call them barren. It's hopeless. It's barren. It's dead. It's beyond hope. But can I tell you, when the angel of the Lord shows up in your life and begins to speak, do not be afraid. God begins to bring life out of death. He begins to bring a seed, and the seed of God in him who was John, who would be the forerunner, who would introduce the Messiah. Do you know that the name John means grace? And God is about to bring grace into your barren season. And when he does, he is going to usher in salvation, which the name Jesus means salvation, or God will save. Hallelujah. And so God begins to step in the midst of their life, right smack dab in their barren season, and say, don't be afraid. Joseph, fear not to take Mary to be your wife, for that thing which conceived in her is done by the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, the Holy Ghost can go and do and touch and be places that we can't be, heal things that we can't heal, touch places we can't touch by the power of the Holy Spirit. While Joseph, being a just man, is deciding rather to put her away because it would seem as if she had been unfaithful, not knowing that it's not unfaithfulness, but the faithfulness of God in her life to bring to pass that thing which had been prophesied by Isaiah that said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child, and his name shall be called. Come on, somebody. Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Fear not, Joseph, for what I'm about to do is going to be done by the Holy Spirit. And then he steps into the room of a young maiden named Mary. And Miss Amanda told you she was probably about the age of 14. Do we have anybody in here 14 or in that age span? 14, 15, teenage years. Yeah. Thank you, Brother Bill, back there in the back. He's at least 14. Hallelujah. We got some young folk in here tonight, today. And sometimes we look at the story and we think that God just chose old men and women for this to happen with. But I love in God, in the season, that when we see the picture of Zechariah and Elizabeth, old, well stricken in age, beyond their season. But then we see a Joseph and a Mary that are just getting started in life. I love that God is a generational God and that he cares about every young boy and girl in this house. And you might think you are past your prime or past your season or too old or been there, done that, got the t-shirt. I want to tell you, get another t-shirt because God is not done with you yet. If you are willing to say, Lord, it is my season, it is my time, my prayers have been answered, and I will stand and receive and declare the grace of God over my life. Hallelujah. You never get too old or too young to be used by God. And he steps into a house of a young virgin girl and says, Hail thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with you. And her question was, Lord, how can this thing be? Seeing that I know not a man. And aren't you thankful that in this season that what's going to be done in this nation, in this world, in this community, in this church, and in your life is not going to be done because of a man. It's going to be done because of the power of the Holy Spirit that will overshadow your life and move and touch in areas that you thought were impossible. For he says to Mary, for with God, all things are possible. How many are thankful today for the God of the impossible? When things seem impossible, but God. Hallelujah. And so he says to her, fear not. The first statement that God makes to every one of the players in the story, don't be afraid. Fear not. The scripture declares, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Hallelujah. God's not given us a spirit of fear. We do not have to live or be tormented by fear. And so today we come to the last statement of the fear nots. And I want to read out of Galatians first. Go ahead and bring up Galatians. Galatians 4:4-7. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, or Papa God, Papa Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Do you know that you're a son today? You're not a servant, but you're a son. And because you're a son, you have an inheritance, and you have a right to everything that the Son says that you could have. Bring up Luke chapter 2 for me, verses 1 through 20. This is probably one of my all-time favorite scriptures. As I looked at my Bible this morning, it's probably the pages in my Bible that are marked up the most. I got little notes in the sidelines and the lines and arrows and all of this kind of stuff. Two things that always stick out to me when I read the Christmas story. One is I can quote the Christmas story to you from Luke chapter 2 because I had a teacher in middle school that made me learn it and recite it in front of the class. If anybody ever had Benita Hunter, she made you memorize a poem every week. Anybody else in here have to memorize a poem and recite it in front of the class every Friday? And so sometimes Friday morning on the way to school on the bus, I was reciting the Gettysburg Address, or I was reciting Daffodils, or Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening with Robert Frost. Everybody's shaking their head. Been there, done that. Thank you, Benita Hunter, for making me step outside of my comfort zone and quote that. I can quote, for lo, the winter is past, out of the Song of Solomon. The rain is over and gone. The time of the singing of the birds has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. Because Benita Hunter, a teacher in middle school, taught me that. She made us learn the Christmas story and quote it. Second reason I love the Christmas story, because it's always been very much a part of our Christmas in our house growing up. My dad always read the Christmas story before there was any packages opened. Before we could tear into anything else, Luke 2 was read in our house, and we honored God and his gift to us before we ever took part of any presents or packages under the tree. There were a lot of Christmases that were very skimpy at our house. but we didn't know it because we had love and we had family. And so this morning I want to read Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand and read this portion of scripture with me, because now I can't see it. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Amen. You may be seated. The scripture says, and they went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. It was taxing time. It was tax season. They went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. How many know a lot of times the holidays can be a taxing time, can be a taxing season, not just financially, emotionally, physically, all of the demands sometimes that are upon us. We were laughing back there today with Heather and them, because their son, he's just so excited about Christmas. And I said, "Oh, the joy of a child at Christmas." And as they're excited, bouncing off the walls, the adults are all thinking about all the things that still have to be done between now and Christmas Eve or Christmas morning. And, you know, the financial end of it and the work end of it and how we're going to make everything work. You know, it's the taxing times, or work or not work, or whether it's going to work out the way we wanted it to. And so there's a lot on our minds in this season. Can you say amen? And we can become so overwhelmed and so caught up in all of that, that we miss the beauty of the season. But it was taxing times. And, you know, we think about, you know, there's sometimes our plans get interrupted and they don't always work the way they want to. How many know that riding approximately about 90 to 95 miles on a donkey when you're 9 months pregnant probably wasn't on Mary's list of to-do things? It was not on her bucket list. I'm sure Heather back there is not in any way looking to ride a donkey to her Christmas celebration this season. I mean, there's sometimes when things don't go according to how you planned them, but aren't you glad that God has a bigger plan? And the scripture said they went down into Bethlehem because they were the house and lineage of David. And the scripture says, and while they were there, the time for Mary came that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. One thing I want to challenge you this morning is in your Christmas celebration, make sure that you make room for him. Make sure there is room in your celebration for Jesus. That it doesn't become all about everything else, you know, the commercialism side of it. But yet that we have room in our hearts and in our celebrations for Jesus. And the scripture said that they put him in a manger. And we've mentioned this before, but real quickly, the manger quite possibly wasn't just a stable somewhere where all the animals ate out of a trough. It was called the Tower of the Flock or Migdol Eder. And it was a tower where the shepherds would watch from a tower, the sheep that were out in the field. And the sheep weren't just ordinary sheep. They were the sheep that were used for temple sacrifice. And they were the shepherds who watched those sheep because those sheep, as you know, had to be lamb without a spot, without a blemish, without any kind of a scar so that they could be offered in the temple for the sins of the people. Amen? And so that when Mary could not find a place to have the baby, he told the shepherds, you're going to find him in the manger, in the tower of the flock, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And the reason they wrapped him in swaddling clothes was to keep the sheep from flailing or injuring themselves when they were born, so that they would be without spot or without blemish. So when God began to speak to the angels, he's in the manger. God began to speak to the shepherd through the angels that he was in a manger. They knew exactly where to find him. And isn't it beautiful that the great sacrifice of the unblemished lamb of Jesus was born in the tower of the flock or in the manger near the shepherds. But I was reading something historically that said that the shepherds probably didn't look like your Christmas card where it has the old men with the long beards and all of that kind of stuff, that they quite possibly were young men and women, teens, about the size of some of our kids here today, would have been grooming to be shepherds. Do you know that David was just a young boy when he was called to kill the giant? And when Moses came to the house of Jethro, he protected the young women of the house of Jethro who were out watering the flock. And so when we look at that, it wasn't just old men in a field. No disrespect to old men in a field, but they could have been some older men in the field. But it was probably a conglomeration of young and old who were watching out for the temple sheep that will be offered for the sacrifice of many. But what I love is while they're there in their dark season, that all of a sudden the angel appears to them and says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly, somebody say suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace, goodwill toward men. Lisa, can you bring me up the amplified scripture that I had there in Luke? Is that it? But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all people. For unto you is born this day in this town of David a Savior who is Christ the Messiah, the Lord. And this shall be a sign for you by which you will recognize him. You will find after searching a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared, now look at this, there appeared with the angel an army of the troops of heaven, a heavenly knighthood, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth. Peace among men with whom he is well pleased, men of goodwill of his favor. Go back to verse 13 for me. And so while they were in the field keeping watch over the flock by night, the angel began to say, fear not. And so my message to you today is fear not. Whatever it is that has you distressed, whatever it is that has you fearful, whatever it is has you worried or concerned or downhearted or in despair or depressed or hurting, whatever it is, do you know that there is an angel, an army of the troops of heaven, a heavenly knighthood surrounding you, praising God and saying glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. In your season, in your night season, in your fearful times, there's the troops of heaven surrounding you. There's a scripture said a song that says, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Hallelujah. As we stood and prayed over to Kim's mom the other night, I prayed and said, you know what? There is a host of heaven encamped around about this room tonight. God never takes our loved ones, but he does receive them. And he encompasses about those who fear him. And there's a troop and a host of the heavenly army that no matter what you face, no matter what you walk through, no matter what season that you're in, that there's the host of heaven that is encamped around about you today, declaring peace to your earth and goodwill and favor to men. Aren't you thankful for that today? You might say I'm fearful, but what does the heavens say? You might say I'm barren, but what does the heavens say? You might say I'm broke, but what does the heavens say? You might say my family is messed up, but what does the heavens say? You might say I don't know about my tomorrow, but what does the heavens have to say about it? Because I want you to know this morning, the heavens have the final say over your situation. And the heavenly host is declaring this morning, peace on earth. Earth, goodwill toward men. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And who is God declaring this to today? But he's declaring it to the shepherds in the fields. Jeremiah 3, I believe it is, says, I will give you shepherds or pastors after my own heart. Can I just tell you this morning, you need to be connected to a flock and you need to be connected to a shepherd, because there is safety in the counsel and the oversight of a shepherd in your life, and sheep are better together. Did you know that? It's the sheep that goes off by itself that's left more vulnerable to predators, to disease, to death, to accidents. But when we stand together, they said that sheep, when they're full of wool, will stand together in a huddle. And if the wild animals try to come against them, there's nothing they can do to get in because it's like one big fur ball. Thank God this morning that we're like one big fur ball, that we can stand together against the attack of the enemy. And there is safety in the coming together of the sheep and the oversight of a shepherd, the great shepherd, who watches over us and cares for our soul today. Hallelujah. Shepherds watch the flock. They hear from heaven. They pronounce a message that is no fear or condemnation. And they speak what the heavens say. Hallelujah. It might look like you're surrounded, but you're surrounded by him. Hallelujah. And scripture says, and they made haste and went to where the young child was. And when they had seen what had happened, they left there and they went and told it abroad, everything that they had heard and seen and had been revealed unto them. Go tell it on the mountain. Amen. Go tell what you know. Go tell what you see. Go tell what you're hearing from the heavens. Because while everybody else is pronouncing doom and gloom and despair and brokenness and heartache, there is a message from the heavens that said, peace, 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 fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. It's a season of celebration. It's a season of miracles. We walk through some things sometime. There's some things we walk through. It's some hard times. There's some struggles. But the great shepherd David said, and yea, though I walk even through the valley of the shadow of death, I can fear no evil. I don't have to be afraid. I can fear not, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff bring me comfort. Aren't you thankful for that today? That even when we walk through trying times, the power of the Lord, the host of the heavenly armies of heaven are encamped round about you, declaring good news to your situation and your dark season. Stand with me this morning.